Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother and fellow servant in the Lord, Radio Reformer, am in studio to present to you with Proposition Number 91. after today, we will only have four more propositions to go in preparing our new and tailor-made 95 thesis directed towards the Joint College of African American Bishops. My church is the African American Church. It is under siege. It is experiencing, it is undergoing a Roman Catholic invasion, if you will. The heart of church has made great inroads into the African American Church. And the great tool being used by Satan today in the African American Church, in my humble opinion, is the Joint College of African American Bishops. That is Satan's great tool to introduce paganism into the black church. So, proposition number 91 reads, like Cain's great-great-grandson Lamech, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops will praise violence, bloodshed, and extinguish young life with great ease. Let me repeat that again. And if you notice, what we're doing is these propositions are presented as Scripture reveals who Cain is and who his offspring is. So this is why we do a verse-by-verse exposition, and I kind of connect the dots for you, and I kind of show you how J. Delano Ellis and the Joint College of African American Bishops mirrors Cain and his apostate offspring. So today, as we move along in Genesis chapter 4, which is basically a chapter dealing with Cain and his wicked, godless descendants, this is where we're at. Proposition 91, again, reads, like Cain's great-great-grandson Lamech, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops will... Not that he is right now, not that he is currently doing it right now, but he will praise, future tense, he will praise violence, bloodshed, and extinguish life, young life, with great ease. So, let us consider the text. We're reading out of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4, verse 23. Please note, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 times 7, or 77-fold is a more accurate reading. So focus on the portion of the text that says, I have slain a man to my wounding, a youngling. I have wounded a man, but more than a man, he's really a youngling to my hurt. There are two poems early in Genesis. Two poems. Scholars agree that there are two early poems in Genesis. The first poem ever to be recorded in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Genesis 2, 23. And it's a love poem. It's a love poem from Adam to Eve. Adam has just woken from the sleep that the Lord put him in. While he was asleep, God performed an operation. God took out one of his ribs. When he awoke from the operation, God had turned the rib into a woman. So Adam gets up and he feels poetic. I mean, Adam now has a helpmate. Adam now has a companion. Adam now has a partner. And Adam is in love. And this is his poem. And Adam said, verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Do you see the rhyming there? Oh, he's rhyming. He's in love. "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called" what? "Woman." She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. She was taken. That's a poem. And Hebrew scholars agree that that is a poem, and it is the first poem, and it is a love poem. It is a love poem by people who have been blessed by God. And Adam was blessed by God, and he felt poetic, and he just thanked the Lord. And thanking the Lord, he was thanking him for his helpmate. For God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmate." And Adam was so grateful. And looking at his creation, God's creation, Adam was excited and wrote this poem. Well, here we find a second poem in the Bible, and it's put out by Lamech. Lamech puts out the second poem. The seed of the serpent puts out the second poem. And what does this poem celebrate? The second poem in history recorded in Scripture, in it, Lamech praises violence. He praises violence. Notice, he in other words, he promotes hate, bloodshed, violence, the taking of life. Where Adam celebrates the union of life, the love of life, the gratefulness of life, that God has bestowed upon us great blessings, that God looks upon man and sees what is missing, and then God makes up for it, if you will. It's not good for man to be alone. Man was not created to be alone. I will make him a helpmate. And God creates Eve. It's a celebration of the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the benevolence of God, the providence of God. Here, Lamech, who is devoid of God, who is godless, promotes violence and bloodshed. That just tells you he's of the seed of the serpent. Well, here it is. Verse 23, Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man." There was a man who looked at me the wrong way. He just looked at me the wrong way. I have slain a man to my wounding. The way he looked at me rubbed me the wrong way. It just rubbed me. I didn't like the way he looked at me. So I snuffed out his life. And he was a young man at that. His opinion differed from mine. So I didn't like his opinion. I didn't like his stance. So I snuffed out his life. And a young man he was. His views were different than mine. His outlook was different than mine. He could have been a godly man, for all we know. He could have been a follower of Jehovah. We don't know. The text doesn't tell us. It just says, Lamech wasn't too pleased with the man, the young man at that. And, you know, Lamech didn't say, well, you know, he's young, he's stupid. Maybe someone will advise him not to mess with me. But no, Lamech didn't chalk it up to the young man being young and not knowing how to act among men. No, he just snuffed out his life. He didn't care how young he was. You're that stupid. You looked at me the wrong way. You said something contrary to my belief. system. I snuffed out his life. Young he was, so what? It makes no difference. Hasn't even lived the life. Hasn't even reached his potential. I'll snuff out his life. I don't care. I don't care how young he is. If you cross me, you're gone. You're gone. So the second poem celebrates bloodshed. The second poem celebrates the opposite of love, hate. Hate, 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 hate. So in this proposition, Proposition 91, like Cain's great-great-grandson Lamech, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops will, not that he is currently, no, we're not there yet. We're not yet there in the prophetic calendar. We're not there yet. For this to happen, for the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, for him to praise violence, to praise bloodshed, and be part of extinguishing of young life, the Antichrist has to be on the scene. And since the Antichrist is not on the scene yet, then this has not taken place. This falls right in line. This falls in the prophetic clock of when Antichrist is on the world stage. Now, I don't know if J. Delano Ellis will be, has enough life left in him to see the appearance of Antichrist. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to last that long. I don't know if the Antichrist is going to appear tomorrow. I don't know if he's going to appear in 10 years. If he appears tomorrow, then J. Delano Ellis will be here. But if the Antichrist shows up in another 10 years, it is most likely that J. Delano Ellis will not be here. Whoever the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African Americans is, when the Antichrist appears, that person will praise violence, bloodshed, and extinguish young life, because that is what will characterize the reign of Antichrist. And if you're the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, you are in bed with the harlot church of the Antichrist. Therefore, you will do what the harlot church does. If she praises violence, if the harlot church praises bloodshed, if she is into extinguishing young life and being drunk on the blood of the martyrs, if you're in bed with her, you're going to do exactly the same thing. So I don't know who this Metropolitan Archbishop will be. I don't know who he will be, but that position will still be there at the Joint College of African American Bishops. J. Delano Ellis may be gone, but someone will fill his shoes in that position. Someone must ascend in the Episcopal Tower of Babel. Someone will fill that chair, just like when the Pope dies, a new Pope is elected. Whoever that person may be, that person who would follow J. Delano Ellis, if he's not around, that person will praise violence, bloodshed, and extinguish young life with great ease, just as Lamech did. Just as. Are you getting the picture now, saints? I mean, history does tend to repeat itself, does it not? It does tend to repeat itself. The number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis to call, because it's only going to get better. This conversation that you and I are having, that you and I and the faithful radio listeners of this broadcast, it's only going to get better. The number here is 646-564-9730, 646-564-9730. Well, please note that out of his own lips, Lamech confesses having killed the man, just like Cain did, and having killed a young man, just like Cain did. You know, Cain killed his brother Abel. His brother Abel was young. So young was Abel, that Abel didn't even have children. Have you ever thought about that? Abel was so young that he never had the time to have a family. He hadn't gotten married yet. That's how young he was. Yet Cain snuffed out his life. Cain snuffed out his life because his brother's worship patterns were according to God's mandates. And Cain didn't like the fact that his brother had shown him up. So he snuffed out his life. Same thing with Lamech. We're not given the reason. We can only speculate why Lamech killed the young man. But it has to do with giving him a wrong look. Not looking upon him with the respect that Lamech was demanding. So he killed him. I have killed a young man. I have slain a man. And he was young. Well, interesting. Let's go to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 11. It says, starting at verse 49, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Some they will slay, others they will persecute. They will hound down, they will chase down, they will put to flight. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world. In other words, when human history was at its earliest stage, when world history was just starting, right after the foundation being laid of world history, may be required of this generation from the blood of Abel. From the blood of Abel, a young man. He was slain when the earth was young. Who slayed him? Cain. Don't you think Cain could have said, well, you know, the history is early. The world is young. We shouldn't be shedding blood. My brother is young. I should not be shedding him. No. That did not factor. That didn't factor in Cain's decision to kill his brother. He couldn't care less if the world was young and if his brother was young. If he was crossed, he was going to shed his blood. Makes no difference. That the blood of the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the old man who died in the Maccabean period, which perished between the altars and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Why? Because they're connected. You see, it's like J. Delano Ellis is always boasting about apostolic succession. You can trace me back to Peter. No, you can't trace him back to Peter. You can trace J. Delano Ellis back to Satan, but you can't trace him back to Peter. See, why is this generation being held accountable for something that was done in the early stages of human history? Why would this generation be held accountable for something that was done in the middle of biblical history? When Zacharias, see, Abel was early history, Zacharias is middle history. Why? Why would this current generation in Christ be held? Why? Because they belong to that line. They belong to that family. They belong to that lineage. There's only two lineages, those who love and worship the Lord and those who hate God and shed the blood of others. Two lineages. Jesus concludes by saying, woe unto you lawyers, woe unto you bishops and archbishops, woe unto you metropolitan archbishop, woe unto you, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You've taken away the Bible from black folk. You've taken away biblical revelation from African Americans. You've taken it away from, ye enter not in yourselves. You won't enter heaven God's way. You removed the key. You've locked the door. You yourselves won't enter in. And you won't let others enter in. You hinder them from entering in with your Roman Catholic canon law gibberish and doctrines of demons. So please note, there is bloodshed. Bloodshed. When the world was young, a young man was slain, and his name was Abel, and he was slain by his brother Cain. By his brother Cain. Now, please note the theme. In Lamech, Lamech killed a youngling. Cain killed a youngling. Lamech kills a youngling. Abel kills a youngling. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. And this talks about the birth of Christ, the birth of Christ, the birth of Christ. Revelation 12:4, and with his tail, speaking of Satan, he drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be what? Delivered, for to devour her child or her youngling as soon as it was born. Please note, my brothers and sisters, that when Christ was born, Satan using Herod the Great was trying to find out from the Magi where the Christ child was born, that he might worship him, but it was a lie. Herod the Great did not want to worship the Christ child. He wanted to destroy the Christ child. This is why the prophecy of Jeremiah, I hear Rachel weeping for her children, as Herod the Great ordered the execution of male children 2 years and under. You see, the dragon wanted to devour the child, the youngling, as soon as it was born. Are you seeing the theme here, my dear brother? Do you see the theme? Are you seeing the theme? Okay. In Revelation 12, verse 17, and the dragon was angry with the woman being the church. The dragon, Satan, he in the last days, this is a last days passage. This is for those of us who will be around when the Antichrist shows up. This is a last days passage. And the dragon, Satan, according to Revelation 12:9, 12:4, the dragon is Satan, and the dragon was wroth with the church, was wroth with the woman, the true church, the bride of Christ. And he went to make war with the remnant or the younglings of her seed. The remnant is the last born bunch. That's what a remnant is. The remnant is the group of children that are born in the last days. They're the youngest ones in the church. The dragon goes out not just to make war with the remnant, with the few, with the handful of believers, but these believers are young. This is the last harvest of God in history. This is the remnant of her seed. Satan is making war against younglings. Cain made war against youngling, his youngling brother Abel. Lamech kills a young man. Satan stands before the woman to devour her child as soon as it is born. And here we find the dragon again pursuing, making war with the remnant of her seed. this generation that is just born now, that will most likely see the appearance of Antichrist, this is a young generation. We haven't been around that long. Compared with other generations, we're the younglings. But Satan goes out to make war with the remnant of her seed, with the last harvest of God, with the last handful of born-again believers, born of God, born of the Spirit in the last days. This young group, Satan, the dragon, is wroth with the woman and goes out to make war. Notice he's mad at the woman, but what does he do? He pursues her younglings. He can't get her, so he turns around and goes after her younglings. Now, why do you say that's important? Well, because I got some audio. That's some very fascinating audio. Got some very, very fascinating audio. The number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis to call is 646-564-9730, 646-564-9730. Now, here's an audio where J. Delano Ellis is encouraging members of the Joint College of African American Bishops to attend a training that he's going to have, a training in which he will help them navigate transition. In other words, J. Delano Ellis acknowledges that some of them are not going to be around much longer. And if they die, will their organizations survive after their death? In other words, J. Delano Ellis is preparing these people to have a succession plan or a successor in line so that if they die, if they don't make it, if they don't live in the next decade, their apostate organizations can go on. Now, let's listen to this. Because, like I said, J. Delano Ellis is not going to live forever, and if the Antichrist tarries, then someone will step up and take J. Delano Ellis' position as Metropolitan Archbishop.
A new installation, a new consecration. Boy, we have a plethora of bishops, overseers, and apostles being elevated. And I keep asking myself, for what? And because we are so accustomed to focusing on the present, how many of us are really planning for the future of our organizations and our churches? How many of us have a succession plan? I mean, a succession plan beside our sons or our daughters, our natural family, our dynastic kind of thing. Well, we need to think about it, because if we don't, our organizations, as great as they may be, will die shortly after we're off the scene. Now, you tell me, isn't that a worthwhile discussion? Isn't that a worthwhile series of thoughts? Meet us at the Joint College this March. Go online, hurry up. collegeofbishops.org. Register. I need to see you there.
Now, you see, that's the theme for that particular year. Now, That was in 2014. That was November 2014. Well, we're going to, next month will be November 2017. So we can technically say that was 3 years ago. And he's still around. He's still kicking. He's still consecrating pagan bishops. And he's consecrating new pagan bishops. And he's doing it at a fast rate. And he's doing it paganly. In other words, he's using the Roman Catholic canon law, which is pagan doctrines, to consecrate these pagan bishops. Okay, so now, having covered that, what is startling is what he says after, which most people don't catch. But you see, I catch everything. God has gifted me in that I catch everything. I'm a very good listener, and when I listen to things, I catch things. Well, let's listen, because now he's going to talk about the robes, and he's going to talk about the vestments, and he's going to talk about the rings and the plumes and the chains. But that's not what I want to focus. I don't want to focus on plumes and vestments and rings and chains. I want to focus on what he says after he talks about vestments, plumes, rings, and chains. Let's listen.
We're past the rules. We got that down pat. Excuse the pat. We know how to put on vestments and plumes and chains and rings and things. Some of us look like dark.
Now, did you just hear what he said? He says, some of us look like Darth Vader. And that's the golden nugget here in this audio. Some of us look like Darth Vader. That's the golden nugget. That's the one thing, that's the one tip off. That's code language. That's code language. That's code language. And listen. Here is a guy who is supposed to be representing the kingdom of light. Here is a guy who, as Paul says, let us dress in the armor of light. Well, if you know anything about Darth Vader was turned to the dark side. He says, we look like Darth Vader. We look like Darth Vader. We mirror Darth Vader. Darth Vader is a primary character in a pagan space odyssey called Star Wars. The Star Wars series of movies, which now I think they're up to number 8 or 9, the whole Star Wars series of movies is a pagan space odyssey. It's littered with paganism. And Darth Vader happens to be a Antichrist type. That's who he is. He's an Antichrist type. John says, little children, you've heard that Antichrist will come, even as there are many Antichrists already in the world. He says, we look like Darth Vader. In other words, we sound like Darth Vader. We have the same career as Darth Vader. Now, this is a man, again, who is supposed to be representing God, who is supposed to be dressed in the armor of light, who is to preach the glorious light of the gospel. Paul says, if the gospel be hid, it is hid from those whom Satan has blinded the minds, that they may not see the glorious light of the gospel. We are on the light side. We represent the kingdom of light. Darth Vader represents the kingdom of darkness. He says, out of all things he could have, he said, you know, we look like Peter. We look like in our robes, we look like the apostles. We look like Christ himself. But he doesn't say that. He says we look like Darth Vader. Now, you can't let that go by. Listen, I'm telling you, you can't let that, you just can't let that slip through your hands. You got to hold that tiger by the tail and say, wait a minute. This is not a Freudian slip, because we Christians don't believe in Freud and we don't believe in psychiatry. This guy was letting people know that they're on the dark side and that they look like Darth Vader. They're on a Darth Vader mission. And by the way, Satan or the Sith in the pagan trilogy, the pagan space odyssey known as Star Wars, the Sith, who is Satan, he's the Satan character. He's the one who made Anakin Skywalker. Notice the word Anakin. The Anakins in the Bible, the giants. The Anakins. Anakin Skywalker. That's Anakin Earthwalker. Anakin Skywalker. Skywalker speaks about elevation. Anakin, we belong to the giants. I'm a mixture of an earthling and a demon. I'm a combination. That's why the force is strong in me, because I am both angelic and I am demonic and human. Anakin Skywalker, that's his name. Then when he turned to the dark side, the Sith named him Lord Vader. The Antichrist, Lord Vader. Lord Vader or Darth Vader or Anakin Skywalker is a sorcerer. Practice sorcery. Anakin Skywalker killed younglings. I kid you not. I kid you. When this man says we look like Darth Vader, of course he look. I mean, I've been saying it. I'm glad you admitted it. Because Darth Vader, like Cain and like Lamech, kills younglings. Like the devil, he kills younglings, does Anakin Skywalker. Let me take you to the audio tape. Now, I did not say, those were not my words. This is J. Delano Ellis. Out of all things he could have said that they looked like, remember, J. Delano Ellis claims that he has apostolic succession from the Western stream. He's got apostolic succession from the Eastern stream. In other words, he claims that he can trace himself all the way back to the apostles and even back to Christ. Well, why didn't the man say, you know, we look like Jesus in our robes and our vestments? And why didn't he say we look like the... Well, he can't say that because nobody's going to buy it. But in that case, don't say anything. But he does say something. And he lets you know that he looks like Darth Vader. And that they look like Darth Vader. And it's true. Because Darth Vader is a Hollywood version of Cain and Lamech. Darth Vader is a Hollywood version of the Antichrist in a space odyssey, in a pagan space odyssey. That third movie in the Star Wars series, the third movie, is the Book of Revelation. When that third movie came out, what was it, 10 years ago? I told everybody, that's the Book of Revelation. That's Hollywood telling you how the Antichrist is going to come into power. That's the Book of Revelation. People said to me, you're crazy. Well, when we went to the movie and I explained it to them point by point, they said, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So here is J. Delano Ellis. I want you to hear it again. I want you to hear from his mouth how he looks like Darth Vader. Then I'm going to play the audio and show you what Darth Vader did in the movie. In the movies, excuse me.
And seeing some of us look like Darth Vader. Darth Vader. Chains and rings and things. Some of us look like Darth Vader. 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 Nah.
and he's chucking it up. We look like Darth Vader, and he's laughing. Now, this is supposed to be a serious man. This is supposed to be a man who's handling the word of truth. Why would anyone of that supposed leadership caliber, why would anyone supposedly in that high office be comparing himself to the Antichrist in a pagan space odyssey? Because they belong to the same family. Because like Lamech, whoever is the Metropolitan Archbishop when the Antichrist shows up, they will celebrate bloodshed. They will celebrate bloodshed. They will celebrate violence. And not just bloodshed and violence. They want to wipe out the young generation. They want to snuff out the gift of God, which is life, as quickly as they can. You know, God gives us life, and God says that we may live long life. But no, the devil wants to snuff out our life as quickly as he can. As quickly. Notice. He's chucking it up. We look like Darth Vader, and he's laughing. And he's laughing. But it's no laughing matter. It's not a laughing matter. And again, why would, out of all the things he could have said they look like, why pick Darth Vader? Do you think that's a coincidence? If you think that's a coincidence, you need to go to school. He's flaunting the fact that he mirrors Darth Vader, because Darth Vader mirrors Lamech, and Darth Vader mirrors Cain, who both mirror the devil, who wants to snuff out life as soon as he can. Adam and Eve were just in the garden a few days or weeks before Satan spiritually killed them. Adam and Eve, you know, think about it. Before Cain killed Abel, Adam and Eve were killed by Satan. Because Jesus said in John 8:44, your father is a murderer from the beginning. Well, who did he murder? Who did the devil murder? Adam and Eve. He plunged them into sin. Satan doesn't care how young you are. He'll kill you. If he can, he'll kill you. Because he's into killing younglings. That's what Satan does. That's his whole track record in the Bible. He kills you. Is it any wonder that the pagans would sacrifice their children to Molech? Have you not read how the North Africans, how they sacrifice their children to Saturn, their newborns to Saturn? How the Carthaginians would sacrifice their children to the sun god. My brothers and sisters, Satan likes them young. He loves to kill younglings. He does. Well. Let's listen to some of this space odyssey. It didn't come out of my mouth that the Joint College of African American Bishops mirror Darth Vader. J. Delano Ellis said it, and that's what matters. Well. Here is. Here is Anakin Skywalker killing younglings. Here is Anakin Skywalker. Listen to this. This is in the third movie, and it's what you call the prequel. The third movie in the three movie prequels.
There are too many of them. What are we going to do?
Now, here's a little child. He's in the Jedi Temple. The children, the younglings are hiding in the Jedi Temple. They know that the Jedi Temple is under siege. that something has gone wrong. They're hiding. And here comes Anakin Skywalker, and they know Anakin Skywalker. They've been around Anakin Skywalker, and so the kids who are hiding underneath the furniture, they come out, and one of them says, Master Skywalker, you know, what are we going to do? Now, they trust this guy. And since he's turned over to Satan, he takes out his lifesaver, and he kills them all. Here it is again.
Master Skywalker, there are too many of them. What are we going to do?
Now here is Master Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi. They appear on the scene. And they are looking at all the younglings that have been slain. And they're trying to figure out how were they slain? Who slayed them? Was it the army of the dark side? Was it Imperial Stormtroopers? And Master Yoda says, no, these younglings were killed by one who was with us. He was killed with a Jedi saber. Here it is.
Not even the younglings survived.
Not even the young. You know, you tend not to wipe out children. It's been known that when rival drug dealers go into a house, and they want to kill out their competition, it's been known time and time again that they leave the younglings alone. They don't kill the children. They kill the parents. They kill the adults in the apartment or in the house, but they don't dare touch the younglings. Well. Not Satan. Satan is ruthless. Not Cain. He was ruthless. Not Lamech. He's ruthless. And not the Antichrist. He shall be ruthless.
Killed not by clones. This. Not even the younglings survived. Killed not by clones. This. Padawan. By a lightsaber he was.
Who could have done this?
The one who could have done it was the one among you. See? Killed younglings. Why put that in the movie? Why even put that in the movie? Well, because it's important. Because it points to what Satan does throughout the entire Bible. He wipes out younglings. He is that ruthless. And everyone full of the devil does the devil's bidding. That's why God said to Cain, if you let the devil take over, you will fulfill his lust. The lust of the devil you will do. Well, he did the lust of the devil because he killed his brother Abel. Now, here's another audio. Now they want to look at the security tapes, they want to look at the videotapes to really find out who killed these younglings.
I have recalibrated the code, warning all surviving Jedi to stay away.
For the clones to discover the recalibration, a long time it will take.
Wait, Master. There is something I must know.
If into the security recordings, Yuko. Only pain will you find.
I must know the truth, Master.
Now, Lord Vader, go and bring... That's the devil talking to Antichrist. Go, Lord Vader, bring peace to the empire. Well, you can't bring peace. He's going to promise peace, but he will never bring peace. He brings destruction. Go, but you see, but it's peace the devil's way. In other words, whoever doesn't get in line with the devil's plan gets wiped out. That's how the devil establishes peace, by wiping people out. Well, isn't that what it says? Isn't that what it says about the false prophet? Prophet in Revelation 13, starting in verse 11, it says, verse 15 of Revelation 13. This is the false prophet. This is Satan's Antichrist's sidekick. The false prophet is Antichrist's sidekick. He's his second man in command. Now, this false prophet, he looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. Remember that. Make note of that. Because I want you to hear how Darth Vader talks. This lamb speaks like the dragon. Verse 15. And he, speaking of this lamb, this false prophet, had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause many, as who would not worship the image of the beast, to be killed. You see, Lord Sidious says to Anakin Skywalker, now you are Lord Vader, arise and bring peace. And well, how do you bring peace? By snuffing out all the people who won't get in line. That's how you bring peace. And that's his mission. But here's more.
Can't watch anymore.
Destroy the Sith. We must.
Well, that's what God says. We're going to destroy the devil. We're going to take the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and we're going to throw them into the lake of fire. This is the book of Revelation, presented by Hollywood in the format of a pagan space odyssey.
Send me to kill the Emperor. I will not kill Anakin.
To fight this Lord Sidious, strong enough, you are not.
He is like my brother. I cannot do it.
Twisted by the dark side, young Skywalker has become. The boy you trained, gone he is, consumed by Darth Vader.
I do not know where the Emperor has sent him. I don't know where to look.
Use your feelings, Obi-Wan, and find him you will.
Now, Obi-Wan Kenobi goes to Skywalker's house to meet Skywalker's wife. And here, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Skywalker's wife, called Padme, they have a conversation, and he reveals to her how her husband has become demon-possessed, if you will.
When was the last time you saw him?
Yesterday.
Do you know where he is now?
No.
Padme, I need your help. He is in grave danger.
From him?
From himself. Padme, Anakin has turned to the dark side.
You're wrong. How could you even say that?
I have seen a security hologram of him killing younglings.
Not Anakin.
hologram of him killing younglings. I have seen a security hologram of him killing younglings. Security hologram of him killing younglings.
Killing innocent children. Killing innocents. Devil doesn't care. The devil is ruthless. He is ruthless. And you know what? The devil's church is ruthless. It's ruthless. Revelation 17:6. This is the devil's church now. Revelation 17:6, it says, and I saw the woman drunken, what, with power? No. The woman, the heart of church, is not drunk with power. She is drunk with the blood of the saints, with the martyrs of Jesus Christ. She is drunk. That's her drink of choice. Her drink of choice is the blood of the saints, the blood of younglings, the blood of the remnant generation. She is drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. People who wouldn't back down. People who would say, I'll continue to preach Jesus though it would cost me my life. Anakin has turned to the dark side. She says, no, no, impossible. No, not my Anakin. No, no. Well, I saw a tape and I saw him killing younglings. See, that's a key feature. That's a key feature. It's a key feature in Genesis, and it's an equally key feature in Revelation. Please note that J. Delano Ellis says, we look like Darth Vader. We look like Lord Vader. We look like Anakin Skywalker. Well, that doesn't surprise me, because Anakin Skywalker looks just like the devil killing a young Adam and Eve. Anakin Skywalker, Lord Vader, looks just like Cain, who killed a young Abel. Lord Vader, Anakin Walker, looks just like a young Lamech, who killed a young man. You can't make this stuff up. The pattern is clear. I've connected the dots. Now, here is Lord Vader. Here's the last video. Here's Lord Vader in movie number 4. This is movie number 4, and here he is. You'll hear his voice. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like the dragon. Here's Lord Vader, and he is into sorcery. Listen to this.
Until this battle station is fully operational, we are vulnerable. The Rebel Alliance is too well equipped. They're more dangerous than you realize.
Dangerous to your Starfleet, Commander, not to this battle station.
The Rebellion will continue to gain your support in the Imperial Senate.
The Imperial Senate will no longer be of any concern to us. I have just received word that the Emperor has dissolved the Council permanently. The last remnants of the Old Republic have been swept away.
But it's impossible. How will the Emperor maintain control without the bureaucracy?
The regional governors now have direct control over their territories. Fear will keep the local systems in line. Fear of this battle station.
And what of the Rebellion? If the Rebels have obtained a complete technical readout of this station, it is possible, however unlikely, that they might find a weakness and exploit it.
The plans you refer to will soon be back in our hands.
Any attack made by the Rebels against this station would be a useless gesture, no matter what technical data they've obtained.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
Now you can hear Lord Vader, he's breathing heavy. Just like the false prophet in Revelation 13:11. He looks like a lamb, yet he speaks like a dragon. He's got that dragon talk.
Don't be too proud of the this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader.
You see, what did the guy say? Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer ways. I mean, isn't that what the Antichrist and the false prophet are into? Sorcery? Doesn't that what the book of Revelation talks about, sorceries? And notice J. Delano Ellis says, they look like Darth Vader. They look like Darth Vader.
To the power of the Force.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes or given you clairvoyance enough to find the rebels' hidden fort.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Enough of this. Vader, release him.
As you wish.
Now, Vader wasn't even next to the guy, and he's choking him from a distance. He says, I find your lack of faith disturbing, and he's choking him. He's putting him in line. You see, anyone who goes against Lord Vader, he wipes them out. Do I need to connect more dots? I'll leave it for the debate. Because I'm going to play this little audio of J. Delano Ellis claiming that he looks like Darth Vader. I want to use that in the debate. And then I want to bring out all the heavy guns. I want to have all the audio from the Star Wars movies. Can't show him my whole hand. Got to leave something for the real debate. Let's play that little clip again. I think that was interesting. I thought that was very, very interesting. Not long.
I suggest we use it.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes or given you clairvoyance enough to find the rebels' hidden fort.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Enough of this. Vader, release him.
As you wish.
You see? Kill anybody gets in his way. And J. Delano Ellis, it's amazing. Listen to J. Delano Ellis. Out of all the people he could have said he looked like,
some of us look like Darth Vader. Some of us look like Darth Vader. Ring and thing. Some of us look like Darth Vader.
We know you look like Darth Vader. Well, Saints, I don't need to listen. The point is made. I'll be back on Saturday with proposition number 92 on Saturday. Let me read to you proposition 91. Like Cain's great-great-grandson Lamech, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops will praise violence, bloodshed, and extinguish young life with great ease, as Anakin Skywalker did when he snuffed out the little younglings. My brothers and sisters, that'll do it for today. Sister Marie will be in studio tomorrow with her apologetics broadcast, Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. Tune back in on Saturday as I do proposition number 92. God bless you.
A mighty fortress.